It's not about the numbers of followers that you have. It's about the number of quality followers that you have. Followers do not define your power. It doesn't. It's the quality.
Welcome to Reimagining You, where we explore the journeys of visionary leaders shaping the future. Today, we're thrilled to have Lama Masri Osman with us, a dynamic force in the MENA region's tech and media landscape. Her podcast, Unicorn Bil Arabi, stands as the number one entrepreneurship podcast in the media region, offering deep dives into the startup ecosystem.
I think every single person you meet has a story. Mm-hmm. Every single person. And you do not know the impact this person can have in your life. I will put everybody on the same playing field. No one is special. Everybody has done great things or has the potential to do great things. Yeah.
So what are a few things that we can connect with the audience and tell them about? When you go digital, these are the things you need to do, you must do, or you shouldn't be doing.
The biggest advice I give people is, why are you going online? Just figure out the why. You will be able to kind of know where to target the content on which platforms. So are you someone who wants to excel on LinkedIn? Then be on LinkedIn. And we're so lucky right nowadays. You have ChatGPT, you have these AI products to help you build these tools much faster.
Your LinkedIn is your LinkedIn. It's not your company LinkedIn. The companies have their own page, but it's your LinkedIn. It's your profile out there. It's your thought leadership. So work on it and then share the benefit. Welcome to Reimagining You, where we explore the journeys of visionary leaders shaping the future. Today, we're thrilled to have Lama Masri Osman with us, a dynamic force in the MENA region's tech and media landscape. Lama's multifaceted career spans over 15 years, encompassing roles in event management, media hosting, education, and entrepreneurship. As a co-founder and CEO of Pod Heroes, she's pioneering the world's first podcast expert marketplace. Her podcast, Unicorn Bil Arabi, stands as the number one entrepreneurship podcast in the media region, offering deep dives into the startup ecosystem. But let's start with a fun story. Back in 2009, Lama was selected from over 20,000 applicants, which she will probably correct me on that, to be one of the cast members on the Road in America, a reality series produced by Layalina Productions. The show followed young Arabs traveling across the U.S., capturing their cultural exchanges and experiences. This early exposure to media and storytelling set the stage for her future endeavors in podcasting and entrepreneurship. Lama, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ali. I'm very happy to be here.
Great. Well, I didn't want to spell everything and say everything about you because you have a very colorful career and journey. So I'm going to give you the mic to tell us a bit more about yourself.
Well, I think I always start off, you know, in podcasts in this kind of realm. It is so difficult to put me in a box, but I'm someone that really loves to lift people. And I'm someone who loves to problem solve. And they call me, and you can see it on my LinkedIn, I'm an idea matchmaker.
Okay.
So that's kind of a little bit of everything. I'm a mother, a very proud mother to two beautiful children. I'm a wife, I'm entrepreneur, a loving daughter. And there's just someone who has lived probably several different lives and probably an old soul as well.
Nice description. Yeah. So in our journey in personal branding, I have made a 10-step process that I put in the book Out of Reimagining You. So on the first step of the process is always, what's your mission? Now, if I look at your journey, you have toyed around with many, many, many startups or of businesses or jobs or whatever. And it's been colorful since, I think, early 2000, right? So what was your mission and how does this mission have transformed? And maybe you can shed some light, what is the current mission of Lama?
I think it was very clear from the beginning. I knew that I had a superpower, that I was good at making an impact on people. And I genuinely enjoyed helping people. And I didn't know how to monetize that. But I really, whether people put me in a place where I'm able to empower people, or whether to, let's say, connect the dots or at least help other people. So throughout my career, you can see, let's say, CEOs reaching out and say, Lama, I have this job open and I'm not finding the right candidate. I literally look around, think of who I have, and I'm like, here we go. That's a CV. Here's an intro. So I've been able to do this kind of matchmaking without taking anything, right? Mm-hmm. Without monetizing on it. But I knew one day that whether that would reward me or not, but I genuinely enjoy doing that. And it could be anything from the amount of pitch decks that were funded because of me, without me even saying anything, just because I truly believe in the entrepreneur. So I think it's that connectiveness. It's lifting other people. I don't really believe in this individualistic competition. I think we are all collectively winning, and I would love for everybody to win. That's really my motto.
Nice, nice. So fast forward 5 years from now, what would Lama be or do?
Hopefully continue raising Pod Heroes to where it needs to be. I think by that time, I mean, right now we've in 2 months, we built the product where we've proven the MVP. Obviously, it's already playing as a global marketplace. I'd love to see, you know, phase two of it, be it the AI integration, be it the education systems, more workshops. But as Lama, it would be interesting to see how, because I've been so good, and I know that I've been great at, let's say, the MVP to T2, D3 of any kind of startups. So it would be interesting to challenge myself to see how I'm able to manage the global scale of a startup. How do different ecosystems react? Maybe their operational structures would be different. So it's going to be a nice challenge for me, at least, to go from, let's say, regional exposure on a global marketplace.
Nice. And you live in New York currently, but you're here for the Arab Media Forum. That's and great. Meeting with the co-founders. But you've been in this region for a while before, right? Before moving to New York.
Born and raised in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that fact. I did a lot of research, but this one didn't come out.
Yes.
So that's good. So for our viewers and audience, really, what would be a message that you will give them? You know, these guys or these people are sitting maybe in a comfort trap, sitting in an office with a nice posh business card, title, company name, and a lot of perks. But they're stuck because if they leave, they become pretty much a PIP, which is a previously important person. So you sound like you've done quite a bit of that other side work. So what would be a word of wisdom or advice do you give to the folks, the audience and the viewers that are sitting on the other side and thinking what to do next and how do they craft their mission?
I think it's not so easy for us to just say, do what I did. Because everybody has their own, let's say, situation. And that situation, be it, you know, we live in a world where we need to be able to pay the bills, to be able to have some type of savings. And you and I know, as
yes,
Lebanese,
of course,
we had to start over.
Yes,
and it's been messy. It's been messy. And that is difficult. So if you're lucky enough to be able to put some money aside, if you're lucky enough to have another partner in your life that is able to financially support you, or to be able to find, let's say, a pre-seed angel investor who believes in your mission and believes in your brand and says, you know what, whatever you're going to do, I'm right behind you with a checkbook. Mm-hmm. Just go. I know you can do it. Having these criteria is really important for you to set yourself to say, I'm ready to venture and do the entrepreneurship journey. Mm. Because it takes time to build. My advice is, you know, as you're working, try to give yourself a bit of time, right? Put some hours at night, put some hours over the weekend, instead of that Netflix show. Start building your product. And we're so lucky right nowadays is that you have ChatGPT, you have these AI products to help you build these tools much faster.
Absolutely.
So that hence why I was able to go live in just 2 months.
Mm.
You know, contractual, operations, the UX, UI, the code, the even behind the screen, the filming of the experts, I was able to get marketing assets, all of that in just 2 months.
Wow.
So for me, that's fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of that while I moved to New York, while I have a baby under two, right? So that is, it's all.
Yeah. That's a full-time job by itself.
Exactly. So it is a handful, but you're able to do it. So obviously have a little of cash flow. And I've asked that a lot for other entrepreneurs on my podcast, where how much should we have on the side? You know, prior with builder.ai, you know, you needed for each, you know, Android or iOS, you needed around $100,000 to build an app.
Oof.
Now with Replit, you know, the Jordanian founder out of San Francisco, his company, this AI product comes in literally seconds and you have an app.
Oh.
Just by prompt base. So the future of how much do I need to invest is no longer 100,000. I mean, it depends where you live, right? You know, have enough, at least have a 6 months roadmap of safety, which is rent, your bills, right? You know, and food and some budget to actually spend on. So that would be my big advice.
That's a sound advice. And I'm going to take note of that. Replit?
Yes, Replit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
It's quite impressive, honestly.
For app development.
App development.
You know, you should actually monetize on your... the way you've done the startup. No.
Oh.
The way you've done your launch in 2 months. I think this is incredibly fast.
Thank you. Yeah, so. I'm like, bravo. I told you, my superpower is building.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I know what I'm good at.
I'm going to come to that because the next step in the process is your UVP.
Yes.
Right? What gives you the authority or the credibility or the differentiators, right? And you told me on the call, you're a builder. Correct. So let's talk a bit more about that. I mean, how does this differentiate you from others?
Well, I think my issue is that I have a lot of accountability, and it could be a positive thing, it could be a negative thing. It depends. If I'm building it for myself, it's great. For my investors, it's great. But if I'm building for somebody else, then, and I'm not getting equity, then it's like, Lema, you're burning yourself. But I do not know how not to wear that builder hat, that building for success, putting all your heart in. And people have seen it because I generally do it out of, you know, out of passion and out of love, really. It comes from such a good place.
Nice.
That I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. You know, I'm not here to say, look, mom, dad, look what I did, right? it's been a journey where from a young age, probably because my first near-death experience was at age 15. So sorry to go a bit dark, but I knew that I'm not going to be here very long. So I knew that I had to make a mark and I had to live every day as, you know, as could be my last. So
that's profound.
So it's very much been Lema go. You know, and it's been, I'm running on full speed. You know, I got it into university at age 16, you know, started my first startup at age 19. I was young, you know, and still in university, but this overachiever, again, not to say, look at me, I'm on magazines and whatnot, but really because I wanted to make some kind of impact throughout my community, throughout other people to look up to, you know, and see like, look, I can do it, so can you.
Well, that's differentiated, definitely, because, you know, it's rare to have these kind of approaches and qualities in a person to give. We're going to talk about giving, especially the mention that you talked about in networking or providing this, connecting this person to this person and whatever. And that's, I'm going to talk about it actually now, which is networking. So previous guests have clarified for me a notion that I really learned from them is about networking. Typically, we go to the social events or to the media forum or to any social gathering, and we come to each other and we say, hello, my name is Ellie. And what's your name? Lema. Okay, what do you do? And then you start blurbing about yourself and what you do. And what I have registered in my mind is, okay, I'm taking this information to see how can I benefit from you. Now, if I don't benefit from you, I say, well, nice meeting you, and I go to the next person. The same thing with trade shows. And, you know, you'll have a business card, and you look, do I benefit? Not put it out. Sounds like you're redefining the network business because you are first thinking of giving. So when you meet somebody, you listen to his or her blurb, and then you say, okay, what can I do for this person? He needs that connection, or she needs this introduction. So Do you see this as a as really your strength in networking?
I think every single person you meet has a story. Mm-hmm. Every single person. And you do not know the impact this person can have in your life. It could be I'm sitting at a coffee shop and this woman comes in and just she observes me how I was with my children and just said, if by any chance you're looking for a babysitter, here's my number.
Nice.
You know, and down the line, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this person a chance. And I recommended her because of how genuine I saw she was.
Yeah.
And again, it could be anybody. It could be because, you know, again, I've been in places where I've met with, let's say, on the road in America. I met with Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. I've met with a congressman, actually, who was responsible for the American military budget, the sole man. Mm. And we went biking from his house to Congress. And I swear to you, not one checkpoint, not one body search, nothing. Can we see the same thing in Lebanon?
No, of course not, yeah.
But he treated me like his equal, like I had a story to tell.
Yes.
You know, even though I was merely 21 years old. Mm. I was very young. Go back where I've sat with ministers in Lebanon and I've had them put their feet up on the table and as if they're someone. And then when they found out who I was, their entire relationship changed.
Mm.
So they played it wrong because I will never forget that first impression they gave of me.
Yeah.
Right? I was able to see their true colors. But I will put everybody on the same playing field. No one is special. Everybody has done great things or has the potential to do great things.
Yeah.
But I just don't disregard anybody. I mean, I give everybody a chance. If you go and speak to anybody, you know that when they reach out to Lema, I'm able to try to help as best as I can.
Okay. Well, I already reached out to you in the beginning of this call, so and you've offered graciously your introductions and your help. So,
of course.
That's a great trait to have for networking. And I think for our viewers and audience, it's really start by giving, not taking. And then the take will come later because they reciprocate the favor maybe, right? So that's a good definition of networking, dilemma style,
yes.
Right? Now we talk about, so you've done your mission, you've done your differentiator. Now you go out in the open, whether it's digitally or offline. And you are the master of digital because you've been all over the place around the digital media. So what are a few things that we can connect with the audience and tell them about? You know, when you go digital, these are the things you need to do, you must do, or you shouldn't be doing.
I think depends on... I always start with, I think that the biggest advice I give people is why are you going online? So figuring out the why. So are you launching a consultancy and you want to create like a call to action, a CTA around that, let's say being online? Are you trying to raise your brand image for at one point becoming a LP at your own VC fund? Are you just figure out the why. You will be able to kind of know where to target the content on which platforms.
Mm.
So are you someone who wants to excel on LinkedIn? Then be on LinkedIn. Are you someone where you're... people that will listen to you are more on X than be on X. So just know and understand your purpose and create the content. And people always say, you know, keep on pushing content. I think just it's not about the numbers of followers that you have. It's about the number of quality followers that you have.
Mm.
So I'm not in it. I mean, when I had the On the Road in America, there was an Instagram at the time. But my show got 450 million views. That's a lot.
Wow.
But did I monetize it? Did I capitalize it? I'll never forget, I've sat next to celebrities, quote unquote, who met me they were very fond. And then they looked at my profile and they saw, one, I was private. And two, they saw how many followers. They were like, oh. And their entire relationship and face changed. Whereas I've seen some with the millions of followers sit next to me and say, oh my God, Lema, amazing. It's so nice to connect. And they've connected digitally. So followers do not define your power.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. It's the quality. And I know that when I share something, whatever it is that I'm sharing, I know that it's reaching to the people that truly, one, would value my advice and have looked to the right content that will benefit them.
Nice. Why is the tips and tricks for us? I'm learning already, right? Yeah. So that's good. Maybe you'll be able to help me continue the launch of the journey that I have.
Of course.
Let's talk the offline now. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know you've been or you're going to be on Dubai TV, mm-hmm. but you had so many of these kind of offline interviews and features in magazines and whatever. For our audience and viewers, this is the most difficult part of, you know, when they send a teaser to a journal, I mean, the editor will look and who's that person, right? Why should I give him some real estate in my paper or in my airtime? So how do people create such an appealing message for the media to really come and give them some space and chance?
The media industry is changing, and the power that magazines used to have is no longer there. You'd be surprised. Readership is down. People are no longer buying. Nobody's subscribing to it. And I've seen some devastating numbers. You've seen magazines shut down because they're not meeting their quota. Why? Because people are digital now.
Yes.
So look at the press conference at the White House. You have a session now just for influencers because they've seen the power of influencers now.
Okay.
How much drive they have. Personally, to me, and it goes down to it, I think connecting, knowing where your target audience is, again, going back to that, and fixating on those magazines, it works with PR. It works with relationships. And a lot of these editors, they have managed relationships with PR agents who take them out to dinner, gives them freebies and whatnot. So it's very much situational. And it really is networking. So knowing who is the editor, how do I get an intro? You get the intro, you meet them, you tell them your story. If they like you, they'll feature you, right? But a lot of them are monetization.
Yeah.
So if you want an interview, you're going to have to pay for it. So I have been not seeing so much published articles that have not been paid for, unfortunately.
Okay.
So it's tricky, honestly. Do we value it a lot? Do we not? I don't want to diminish the space. It's the oldest space, but it's shifting. So I would rather see you, let's say, on Monify, on Najib Sawiris' production, which is talking, right, serious, but connecting to the Gen Z audience.
Oh, okay.
Right? And it's more digital, right? So it's kind of think of it as like dumbing down crypto or dumbing down investment or dumbing down currency valuations and what that means and economics. And it's a great platform. And
okay. I see. I learned another thing today.
Yes. Yes.
Very good. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
I'm happy to give you an intro. Najib's a good friend. He's done really good.
Well. Yeah. So I'm going to move to, I heard the word monetization quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I heard that you have built, connections and you have, brought in some money from here to there to VCs and so forth. And you had 450 million views and the monetization aspect was not there. Is that a lesson you learned here? Is that something that you want to share with us? Because everybody has monetization issues, right? We put a lot of good content out there and we hope for the best, but it doesn't materialize a lot of time. But you had that space and you have not monetized, whether it's intentional or non-intentional. Mm-hmm. So
I think for my podcast, at least, I did not monetize season one because I didn't want to. I wanted, my why was to build a personal brand as myself. So it was an investment on my authority, right? On my connections. And that's why I did season one with no sponsorship. Now, the production was done by Studio Al Janoub, which handled all the finances. Now, they could still monetize season one if they wanted to, but launching it was without any ads. It's not so easy, honestly. It's getting easier to monetize, but it is difficult to say, and it's tricky because you start thinking, do I really want people to pay for this type of content? you know, as advertisers, then you start doubting yourself, you know, is it good enough? Is it not? But there's, I want to give somebody else a chance, you know, maybe somebody else needs it more. So you end up helping other people before you help yourself. And I've done that a lot, right? I've like handed making sure everybody else is taken care of without filling my own bucket. And definitely lesson learned. Definitely I've delayed conversations on equity, you know, and be more assertive on that because I thought it's okay, maybe they can't financially now do it, you know? So you feel that like
responsibility or
And it's definitely a lesson that I have to learn that says, Lama, you know, stop worrying, right? That's that motherly instinct, if you know, trying to protect everybody. You know, this is your right. You know, ask for it. You know your worth in the market and just stand in your place, right? And ask for it. So, I said, you know, even for Unicorn for Arabi right now, season 2 is on halt because I said, I won't shoot instead until we get a sponsor, right? And so like, I've done my bit, I've done season 1, and if we want to continue, we'll do it with a sponsor. So that's kind of how I've weighed my value in a way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I will try to decipher this for my own podcast. So we'll see where the river will take me with that.
Yes.
Whether I'll do season 1, season 2. But for our audience and viewers, I think, you know, that's an intentional decision whether you're going to build a brand and let's do it without thinking monetization first. Let's get the brand out. Then monetization can come after. That's a good advice. Now, I'm going to take you to one more aspect, which is a bit controversial. Mm-hmm. As I said, our viewers are executives currently or entrepreneurs. Some of them, when I take the discussion around personal branding and let's put you out on LinkedIn, let's talk about your value, unique value and your thoughts and your pillars and whatever, they feel very shy. They said, well, I don't know how it's going to be perceived by my company and I'm not sure if I'm crossing the line and what does my manager would think about me when I start putting things out in the open? Does he or she think this is an alarm that I'm going to be leaving? So what's your take on that?
I think it's something I've dealt with a lot because I've been able to build my brand without a title. While I was working or while I was building, I became more known than the actual brand. And people said, okay, Lama does this, right? Lama gets this done. And building that brand, I thought, was much more important. My advice to them is don't think twice about titles, right? Right now you could be CEO, and tomorrow you could be an executive. Why not? So what? Right? And I've definitely had to, because when I was a founder and after the blast, obviously we had to start over financially. We lost everything, right? I no longer was able to build a business that I was built, you know, really in deep MVP in. And I said, oh my God, like emotionally I wasn't ready. Right. I was a wreck and financially all my money was gone. So I said, all right, let me build for somebody else. That's when I joined Podio. And I was no longer the co-founder and I was not the CEO, right? But I still did not have the change of titles, let's say, leave me from impact. Right? I'm still me. I'm still going to give. So keep building your brand name. Don't be worried about your colleagues. Unfortunately, I learned this from my father. My dad is a really big giver, but he cared about what people think in a way where even if they backstab him, he'll still be their friend.
Oh, wow.
And he'll be nice with a smile on his face. And that is a superpower, but I couldn't do that. I'm like, you know, if you hurt me, you're out of my life. I don't need that kind of energy in my life. So I was like, whatever's going on with them, it's on them, and may they find their journey and be okay. But I'm not going to have that affect me. So build, right? And if people get intimidated, maybe they'll let you go, but you'll find your way. You know, so I try whenever I'm building and doing my brand name, not to step too much on people's toes, and maybe try to help your colleagues or your manager to also build a personal brand. Basically, try to help them feel more confident about themselves. And when you do that, that's when you're winning.
Yes.
You know, as
absolutely.
An under executive, you want to call that, right?
Yeah.
And that's how I am when I'm not building for myself. I try to lift the leaders around me and try to make them shine. You know, I remember with Poggio, I kept on mentioning, you know, every time I did an interview, I'd say, Stefano Faleha, he is the next Steve Jobs of the Middle East. And I'm so proud of him and I'm lifting him and I'm this and I'm getting him literally mentions everywhere. Because till now, even though I'm no longer with them, I am very proud of what they've achieved and what he's built at such a young age, you know, at a university dropout. He's done so well. So this lifting and wanting to see people succeed and wanting to people get to where they, I see them go, really. Don't let, let's say maybe their insecurities, you know, anybody that you're working with, stop you from being you.
Well, I like that because in the corporate world, and if you play that lifting agent, I think you have a lot of winners on your side, right? And I want to continue on the momentum because when I was writing my book, which is around personal branding, I did some research. So why people want to do personal brand themselves, for themselves, and what do corporations think? Well, it looked like the research showed if you actually, an executive, work on his or her personal brand, the actual corporation will benefit as well.
Of course.
Because people buy from people.
Of course.
So if you have that visibility and you claim thought leadership in few areas, people tend to be more confident and trusting your recommendations more, hence more business for your corporations. So let's not be shy. If you're an executive today listening or viewing the podcast, let's not be shy. Your LinkedIn is your LinkedIn. It's not your company LinkedIn. The companies have their own page, but it's your LinkedIn. It's your profile out there. It's your thought leadership. So work on it and then share the benefit for corporations and for yourself and work with your colleagues to lift them up. So this is a great point to really wrap around the... Sorry, you want to say something?
I want to add to it because the new trend in marketing now is founder-led stories.
Okay.
And it's no longer, hi, this is the company and this is what we do. Mm. It's a mic, right? And it's a podcast. And it's executive saying, this is how I built. This is the challenges. This is how it's becoming authentic. It's raw. It's me. When I was in New York, I went in Times Square and I literally put the camera on and the mic on. I said, guys, we got our first booking. Like, I am celebrating the first success.
Yes, I saw that.
You know, and it got so much traction. And because I'm like, people wanted to relate and touch on, this is real, right? She's celebrating the small wins, but she's still celebrating. And and I see how happy she is and congrats and keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this kind of, we're building, it's tough. You know, I definitely want to do a, you know, it's a tough, show at you know, recording at one point. But my main point is you'll see a lot more, you know, founder-led, executive-led content for all these marketing pages. Really. Like, you know, Strategy Anna, I remember we're doing their podcast. They have one of their partners, Karim Sarkis, he does the alumni stories. He keeps on getting different strategy and alumni on his podcast, and it resonates because it's leadership roles, right? Being authentic and sharing a bit more than just a consulting deck with their clients.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The human touch, the human aspect.
True.
Nice. Nicely said.
Yes.
Of course, you had the ups and downs. You had the wins and the losses. You had your great moments, celebrations, and then the... You know, the valley moments. Can you share a lesson or two from a you know, an incident or something that happened not the way you expected and you learned from it? I know it could be personal.
I mean, unfortunately, there's been quite a few lows. I'm the type, and I think I'm very grateful for my parents, and I bless them for that. But I'm grateful for every day. So no matter how low sometimes get, embrace the low. It's okay. Let it out. Cry, stay in bed, do your thing, but get back up. Get back up, surround yourself with people, because sometimes you are alone. I've been in moments where I woke up, I'll never forget, I woke up from surgery and I said, I've never felt more alone in my entire life. I literally.
Oh, wow.
And it was so scary and it was tough. But, you know, you look up, you think of those around you, and you say, okay, it's going to get better. So be it, I've lost all my money, right? And so from being the one that takes care of her parents and spends on two homes and is about to buy land and build her house to having to work for someone, it's a shift in your mindset.
In the mindset.
It's really a shift.
Sometimes depressing too, you know.
Right? And you have to be like, you know, how do I redefine that, you know, being able to be the provider? And for me, it's not the title, but it's a disappointment in myself where I was like, I want to give my parents the best, even though they didn't need me to give them anything. But I've been this kind of adamant since I was 18 to start earning and giving back to my parents. For me, not to be able to splurge on them was such a difficult moment for me. Really was. And it took a toll on me mentally. Mm. And it still does, because I'm still not able to, let's say, fly them wherever I want to and give them the best life that they've literally splashed on me.
Yeah.
So that is something I'm aiming to. And I'd make it when I give my dad his yacht back. That's all. I know I've made it. I'm like, Baba, this is what you deserve. And you look, it suits him so much money. It's unbelievable. I was like, this man needs to get back and gets his yacht. And this is my mission, really.
He'll definitely listen to this podcast.
Yes, he will. He's like, you said it. It's true.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Happen.
It's recorded.
That's my KPI.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Now, we didn't say when.
Yeah. Better be soon.
Better be soon, yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. The last question. Mm-hmm. A word of advice for our audience. What would you say?
Find something you're good at. It may not be something you studied. And surround yourself with good and positive people. Clean up the negative, the people that push you down.
Yes.
There will always be people that are jealous or intimidated, but find your confidence, and it goes down to confidence. Your body may change, we may age, but take care of your soul and try to live a content life. Be okay with the basic and celebrate the small wins.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is shiny. I know Dubai is shiny, right? But find your happy place and find your home, and I know you'll do great. And reach out if you ever need any advice. I'm here. I'm here to give and spread as much help as I can. But
beautifully said.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Of course.
You know, we've talked a lot about social media and digital world and being out there. And I have a confession.
Mm-hmm.
So when our friend Nader, which I would say thank you on air for him for that beautiful introduction.
Yes.
When he introduced you to me, he said, go look her up. And I looked you up. And to be honest with you, your digital world does not do justice for your profile. It's only when I had the pleasure of having you on a call to say, huh, there is quite a bit of interesting journey and substance. So let me invite her in. I invited you in. And after this beautiful hour of discussion, I am impressed and amazed with your journey, with your authentic self, with your giving mentality, with your empathetic style. So I would really, from my heart, I would thank you for coming here today, sharing what you have to share, for the audience and the viewers, and being yourself. So thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me. I hope we never change, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
So for our viewers and audience, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Stay tuned for every Thursday, another great guest will be on this podcast. See you then.